I know we've been praying. I've asked you beginning of this year to write out. Oh, I thought you were coming to put one in. I thought I said only one, but, you know, I was going to, okay. She laughs. But this is, you know, we've asked God to move upon one thing just personally with us individually, and one concerning us, but that's beyond our sphere, our area, us. And so we're going to just pray again. And you might say, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows but God and you what's in here. And we're praying for God to move. Father, I pray a mighty move of your Spirit, Lord God, upon these prayer requests, Lord God. You know what has been written. And Father, I pray that you will move upon it. You will answer. You will set up the circumstances for the prayers, the answer to come. You will be with them. You will help them and you encourage them, Lord God. Your presence to be upon them, Lord God. We pray a mighty move of your Spirit in Jesus' name upon it. In your name we pray. Amen. And let me tell you, if you have an answer, like if yours is answered, you don't have to come and tell me what it is. I don't need to know, unless you want to tell me. But just say, hey, what I wrote in there has been answered. That's all I need to know. Okay? So we know our God is a God that answers prayer. Amen. Oh, we're going to be reading in our books. If you would like a book and you don't have one, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Oh, Jelaine's raising. Joey, okay. Anybody else? Just making sure. Amen. Oh, my glasses. I'm going to have to go up there and get them. Y'all know what page to turn to, huh? Amen. I want to encourage you to bring the books back every Sunday. Bring it and read it during the week. Make some notes in it. Write your name in the front. Make some notes. And let it speak to you. Ask God before you read it to show you something about what you're reading about, that it will help. You brought your book, Clarissa? Every week you keep coming down a little bit. Okay. The only day you had mercy was when we didn't have church. And on that note, last week Miss Diana did a great job preaching. You know, she did a great job. So, you know, thank you for the prayers and for her. But the more she preaches, I find the better she's becoming as a speaker. And so anointed by God. You know, anything that's anointed by God, when God says to speak, it'll change people's lives. Amen. You see, all God uses is us to speak a word. He takes it and he anoints it. And the power of God hits it in the hearts of the people. So, you know, it's not us to hit with the Holy Spirit. It's us to speak. And in he, the Holy Spirit, comes and stamps it upon our hearts and upon our lives. That's what we want, change in us. So thank you. Praise you, Lord. If you would turn to page 87. Interesting. God still heals. And this is, it's the latter part of the verse, but it says this in Exodus 15:26. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I know before we read, and just a matter of note, I know a lot of people are dealing with physical ailments. God still heals. Look at it this way. We'll either be healed here, or we'll be healed when he comes again. Amen. Or when we close our eyes for the last time in heaven. It says this. There is healing power available in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. These two Hebrew words in Isaiah 53, griefs and sorrows, are never used in connection to sin. They are always used in direct reference to the healing of the body, griefs, or the healing of the soul, sorrows. This means that if you need a healing in your body, ask the Lord to touch you based upon the price Jesus paid at Calvary. Understanding that healing is not limited to just illness, disease, or infirmity in the body. It extends as well to the heart, the emotional side of man. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to heal the brokenhearted. He also said that he would set at liberty those who have been bruised. Has your heart been broken? Is your mind oppressed? Has helplessness and hopelessness been the order of the day for too long? Then go to the Father in faith. Let your faith rest not upon your confession or religious actions, but upon Christ's finished work. Approach the throne boldly with humility and confidence. The days of Jesus healing the needs of humanity are far from over. Acts and believe. He's come to heal the body and has come to heal the spirit on the inside of us, the brokenhearted. Amen. Praise God. If you would, stretch forth your hands this way as I try to preach the word of God to you. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your anointing and your spirit upon my life, Lord. I would pray today, Lord God, as I stand behind this pulpit, that the preacher and the teacher would come out to this day, the callings that you have placed upon my life. Lord, help me to preach under the unction and power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, as I preach, that it will touch the hearts of your people far beyond this place, Lord. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. And Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord said this about a man. He said this, that there was a man that was perfect and upright, and one who feared God and eschewed, which means hated, evil. You might say, well, who was he talking about? He was talking about the man named Job. He said this, and he said it more than once, and we're going to see some things about this. He said, there was a man that was perfect and upright, and one who feared God and eschewed, or which means hated, evil. Now, perfect here, it doesn't mean that he was perfect in all his ways, but it just means in doing all he could to please the Lord. So here we see a man, Job, that was perfect. That means he did everything he could to please the Lord. He was upright. He feared God. That means he reverenced him. And he hated evil. Now, I want you to turn to Job chapter 13, page 847. Job chapter 13, verse 15. Now, you got to... I want you to know this. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And I know you're probably saying, well, I thought it was Genesis. No, it's not. The book of Job was the first book ever written in the Bible. It is the oldest book in the Bible. And even go a little step further, it is the oldest book in the world. Nothing before this written down. The oldest book in the world and the oldest book in the Bible. It says in Job 13, verse 15, it says this, though he kill me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Now, this is a tremendous statement. It says this, though he kill me. Now, we know the scenario, and we're going to talk a little bit about Job and all the things that he went through. And he's talking about the enemy. Though he kill me or try to kill me, yet will I trust in him. Talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I will maintain my own ways before him. What was his ways? He was perfect. He was upright. He feared God and he hated evil. That was his ways. He was a man that trusted God with everything within him. Now, he wasn't the only Christian, if you want to. They didn't have that terminology, Christian, back then. We'll just say it for today. He wasn't the only Christian that was living at that time, but he was the one that God said, look at this man, to Satan, that he will not turn his face from me. He will not turn his ways from the King of Kings. He will be perfect. He will seek me with all of my heart. He will do what I want him to do. He will accomplish what I want him to accomplish. Amazing. In Job 1:1, if you would turn there, which is only a few pages over, page 832, it says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz, that's where he came from, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one who feared God and eschewed or hated evil. We know this. The author, probably they said, was Moses. We're just going to take it as Moses. As Moses penned these words down under the unction, which is the power of God or the presence of God, as he penned down the word of God, the first book in the Bible, God was talking about a man that was living upon the earth, Job. Speaking about a man that he knew was perfect before him, that sought him with everything within him, that was upright, that hated evil. All those things he was saying about Job. And I know this, if God was saying that about him, what is God saying about us? Ooh. Do we live an upright life? Do we live a perfect life? That means not perfect in every... You know, there's no one perfect. No, not one. But perfect in our deeds towards him, seeking him with everything within us, trying to accomplish the will of the Father upon the earth. What is he speaking about us, saying about us? Do we hate evil? I didn't say hate people. I'm talking about hating evil. Hating evil. And what it does to the human race. The destruction of the human race. And fearing God. God was talking about a man called Job. Job lived at this time blessed by God. It says in the scriptures, and we're not going to read it all, but it says that he had basically 7,000 sheep. I mean, this man was rich. 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen. I mean, he had 7 sons, 3 daughters. I mean, just blessed by God. He was a very rich man, and some even think probably the wealthiest man. We're not 100% about that. But he was very wealthy, or could have been the wealthiest man upon the earth at that time. Yet this man got up and feared God. Got up and worshiped God. Got up and hated evil. Got up and did the things that were right according to the word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I know we know this scripture, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We know Job, and we know we should trust God no matter what. You might say, this man that loved God with all of his heart, with everything within him. You know, it says even in Scripture that his children did not serve God. They did all kind of evil in the sight of the Lord. They would gather together in their brothers' homes, and they would do all kinds of evil things. They did not serve God. Now you would think, this is such a righteous man, a godly man, but yet all of his children, in the scripture it says, did not serve God. Amazing. Amazing. But this is what Job would do. Look at verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, or came around, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. That means all his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and they just didn't name the daughters, but the daughters too, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now I want to read something. It says in the comment, it says, before the giving of the law, we know the law of Moses, the father of the family was the priest of the family. It was his responsibility to bless, purify, and offer sacrifice. So here we see Job. Can you imagine? It broke the heart of Job. Can you imagine his children would see him, and they see how blessed he was, but because he was blessed was because God blessed him tremendously with wealth and knowledge and help and whatever else. But yet he had children that did not serve God. And Job knew it. And he would go to God and he would offer the sacrifices to cover their sins, to help them, to help them that God would still hopefully would bless them or draw them by the Holy Ghost. That had to break the heart of Job. You know, we look, you know, you as parents, you see your children sometime and maybe they're not serving God. I know that breaks your heart. I know it does. But you continue to pray and you ask God to move upon them. God says he would answer our prayers however he wants to answer it, whatever he wants to do. But it broke his heart. But you see, we got to continually press in. We got to continually do as Job did, because Job loved God and God loved him, and God did a tremendous work in his heart and life. My God. And you never know, as you praying, God will show you how to pray for your children. You keep on praying. Don't look at what's going on with the physical eyes, because that will discourage you. As Christians, we walk by faith in the Son of God. We walk by faith in who he is and what he can do. That's how we walk. And we turn our eyes towards faith in God, saying, Lord, I lay them upon your altar again and again, he or she, whatever, all of them. And you let God deal and move and help them, especially if they're grown adults. Your hands are tied. But they're not tied to God. You just keep praising Him. You keep honoring Him. You keep calling their names out to the Lord. And let me tell you, it says that His word will not come back void unto Him. But that word will go forth and it will change the hearts and lives of your children and of your grandchildren. That's the power of Almighty God. Thank God we had parents. Thank God we had relatives. Thank God we had friends that prayed for us. We just didn't walk into the kingdom of God. God's will is for the whole world to be saved. But I tell you, it's because people were praying. It could have been the pastor that may not even know us by name, but he was praying or she was praying. Praying for the community. That's the power of the Spirit of God. That's the power of our words. That's the power of prayer. Changing the circumstances. Changing things in our hearts and in our lives and in our community. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He did. Our responsibility is to trust when trusting seems impossible. Our responsibility is to trust when trusting seems impossible. My Lord, we are to believe when believing feels impractical and burdensome, no matter what. We're to trust and believe. Look at verse 6 to 12. Of that same chapter. Now it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now that was evil angels and godly angels. They all have to give an account, people. That's the power of our God. And Satan came also among them. He had to. Remember, Satan is responsible and accountable to God. He is. He might be the leader of the evil ones, but he's accountable to God. Oh, my Lord, that puts a step in your pep, in the pep in your step there, saying, my God is in control. My God. And old Slewfoot can try to do anything he can if God allows him, but he's accountable to my God. And only whatever God allows to come my way, he's in charge. And it says, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, where have you been? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. And you see, and God knew what he was looking for. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Ooh, I wonder how many times he goes to and fro and he goes to the Lord, because he has access somehow that God allows him, little access, where he has to come and give an account. Can you imagine? And I wonder, when we go through things, I wonder if it's because God said, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant, Joe, and put your name in there? Because you see, God had already said Job was a man that was perfect, upright, one who feared God and eschewed or hated evil. My Lord, he knew his heart, you see. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 7, where have you been? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and eschews evil. This is what, number 2, verse 1, he said about Job. Verse 8, the exact same thing he said about Job. My Lord. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? That means he was saying, he's only serving you for what he can get out of you. And hey, we do have Christians like that, that will serve only God for insurance purposes. Not to go to hell. Fire insurance. And he was saying Job was only serving God. He was accusing Job of serving God just to get wealth. And God showed him up. Verse 10, have you not made a hedge around about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Amen. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. So here we see, stop there just for a minute. God says he has a hedge. Well, Satan says, yeah, he's serving you because he just wants whatever he can get from you. That wasn't true. That was a lie. Isn't he the father of lies? We serve our God because we love him. Yes, we may disappoint. Yes, we may say or do something not right. Yes, you're okay. But Lord, we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God and Satan said, you have, Father, well, he said, Lord, you have put a hedge around about him. Thank you, Lord. Look, when we gave our hearts and lives to him, he put a hedge of protection around about us. He protects us. And in this circumstance, he even protected his children that did not like him or love him with all their heart. They were heathens. Buddy, we should have shouted. God has a hedge of protection around about us to protect us from the evil one and the evils of this world. That's why you don't have to go around worrying about stuff. Does worry add an inch to your height? No. Does worry add a day to your life? No. It really destroys us from the inside. We're not to worry. We're to give everything to the Lord and let him handle it, because he is in control, because we have given our lives to him. Job gave his life to the Lord, and the enemy, Satan, oh Lucifer, knew it. But he tried to accuse Job. And you see, God knows our hearts. Satan doesn't know our hearts. He knows our actions. That's all. But he does not know your heart. God Almighty knows your heart. And he knows your actions. And he knows everything about you from day one upon the earth. He knew you before that in the spirit realm. He knows us. Look, we can rest assured that our God protects us physically, spiritually. And if anything comes our way that misdirects or whatever circumstances, we can rest assured that old Slewfoot had to go before God and get permission, because we are children of Almighty God. And look, that means our God is in control of everything. He's in control of it all, not us. He protects, he leads, he guides, and helps. Number 11, Scripture 11, verse 11. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your... I mean, this is the enemy accusing Job. Hey, have you ever been accused of something? And you know it wasn't truth? We've all been there. We'd like to take the circumstances in our own hands at the moment. But, you know, after we fall on our knees, get before God, he changes our hearts. And here, old Slewfoot, he's the accuser of the brethren, people. He's going to say lies about you to the Father, to whoever. He's going to make people think in their minds things that are not truth. That's what the enemy does. That's his tactics. And so we just, you know, we stay before God like Job did. Be perfect before him. Be upright before him. Hate evil and seek God with everything within us. Look at this. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Remember this, God is in control. God is in control, people. Not us, not Satan, which he thinks sometimes, not his minions, but God Almighty that sits upon the throne is in control, people. That's who you call upon. That's who you keep your faith in. That's who you trust in. You know, we know this. Job went through some horrible things. He lost all his wealth. It says a whirlwind, which they think from the commentary might be a tornado. As they were in that, all of them were in the, how hard is it to get 10 children in one house with their spouses and children? Not just physically, but everything else. And they're there. And old Slewfoot comes around and he said, I'll kill his children. And he did it. You know, this is just a thought in my heart. It says the winds of the whirlwinds or the tornado hit all four sides of the house. That means it collapsed. As they were in there, it came in a second. And they were all in it and it destroyed every last one of them. I don't know if they had time to call upon the Lord. I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. We don't know. But you see, I want you to get this in your heart, that God is in control, people. The enemy's not in control, we're not in control, but God is. Why does God allow calamity or sickness upon our lives sometimes? Number one, maybe it's to create character in you and I. Remember, he's in control. Godly character is conform to the image of Christ, resulting in consistent Christ-like behavior, thoughts, and attitudes. Some things will not come out of us till God allows something bad to happen. That doesn't mean God did it. That means he allows it. It's like Job. This is Job. God had his... I know it's fun. I didn't want to bring anybody up, you know, but somebody might say, I want to be Job. But, you know, God had his hand of protection and nothing could come around him. Till he Satan came, well, you know, I've gone to and fro and have gone across the land. And God Almighty stands back and said, oh, Satan, what about Job? See, God put Job there. God bragged about Job. Does he brag about us? Does he say, man, he can do it or she can do it, go through that? And when his hand of protection came, there was still a barrier of some kind because he could not take Job's life. He could not kill him. But everything else the enemy could take from him or destroy. And he did it. He took all his wealth, his money, assets, homes, children, everything. From being the wealthiest man on earth to zero. Sometimes God will allow us to go through things to see our character on the inside. What are we made of? God wants to mold and make us. Sometimes we can't see things till God shows us and we say, oh my Lord, help me in that area, Lord. That's what God is desiring to do, to bring his character and his holiness to us. And make him in partakers of his holiness. Believers in God share in our partake of God's own righteousness and set apart nature. My Lord. Everything was taken from him. Whatever the Lord does is right. It's not right just because he does it, but because in fact it is right. Say it again. Whatever the Lord does is right. It's right. It's not right just because he does it, but because in fact it is right. One day a millionaire, Job, a multi-millionaire at that time, really. The next day he was nothing. We know what was happening in heaven as we read the book of Job. At the time of happening, Job had no idea as to what was taking place. You ever thought of it that way? Or why it was taking place? When everything was lost that day, God didn't come down and say, "Hey, Job, let me whisper something to you. The Satan's going to be coming. He's going to take everything from you except your life. So beware." He didn't know nothing. How many times have we been just in life and things happen to us, people? Things happen. We live in this world. Things happen. What is God trying to build in us? It looks like that the Lord gave him no warning whatsoever. It's all just suddenly happened. One calamity right after the other. All his sheep died, and they killed all the servants except one, and he'd run and tell Job. Then somebody would come and steal all the oxen, yokes of oxen, kill all the servants, and then only one servant would run and tell Job. I mean, it was amazing, all the things that were taken from him. And then all of a sudden, one servant comes and says, "Job, all your children are dead." Lord, that's more than one person can bear, people. You know, heartache is heartache. It hurts. 10 children in one day? All your sheep, all your cattle, all your oxen, all your donkeys, everything's gone. But yet, he trusted God. Look, it says in verse 20 of that first chapter, "Then Job arose." When calamity comes, no matter what it is, don't stay down. You rise up. Now, you know, I know it may mean he just rose up. He probably was close to oppression or depression. I mean, one hit, one blow every few minutes or every hour or so, a blow came of something else that died. And the last blow, and we know other things happen. He had the three amigos that came in and gave him horrible advice. We don't need that. We don't need that. But it says that he arose, he rent the mantle off of him, he shaved his head in mourning, he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Look, I've seen Christians get mad, severely mad about things, and hey, when things happen to you, it hurts. And I'm not trying to downplay anything at all, zero. But get so mad at God because he didn't do it the way they wanted him to do it, an answer or whatever it is, and they turn from God and they go a different direction. And their destruction comes unless they repent and go on. Now you might say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I've been disappointed." Hey, look, welcome to the club. We've all been disappointed. Maybe God didn't answer the way we thought, but I tell you what, we're not in control. We don't tell God what to do. We believe God for the impossible. And it's up to him how he wants to do it. So you keep your heart right before him. When you might say, "Well, I can't take another disappointment." Go to Job and read Job and saying, "Lord, help me." And rise up like Job. He rose up without the effects of his children. I mean, his three friends, his wife, and the boils that came upon him. I mean, just bad. But before he thought, oh, this must be the end, and other stuff came about. In sackcloth, mourning. But he rose up and he got on his knees and he worshiped God. That's what we do. That's who we are as Christians. I know it's hard when things are breaking around the house. You know, things get tough. But don't focus yourself on the things. Focus yourself upon Him. Things get rough with our children sometimes. Don't get focused upon your children or grandchildren. Focus yourself upon Him. Don't get focused on your spouse. Be focused upon Him. And you worship God. You keep your eyes before Him. You keep your heart before Him. And you ask God to cleanse your heart and soul, to move upon you and to help you to do and be like Job was and is. In the end, he was the same and had the same spirit of being, as the scripture says, he was a man that was still perfect. Who could say that? You know, he was still perfect. That means he still sought the things of God. He was a man that was still upright, even going through the horrors of life. And God restored his wealth and all children, and God restored it. And he was still one who feared God and hated evil. But you know, we know the story of how the enemy went to the Lord. Job didn't know that. His friends tried to tell him, just curse God and die. And his spouse too, his wife. Look, we got to keep focus on the prize. And that's the King of Kings, people. Don't get side swiped. At all. Keep looking to Him. Keep looking to Him. You might say, we're all on a journey. Yes, we are. Don't get turned around on your journey with the Lord. Don't go down the wrong street or the wrong path or the wrong alley. No, you keep your heart right like Job did. And when things get rough, you rise up. Walk around a little bit and you fall to your knees before the Lord and you worship the King. See, that's what he wants us to do. That's what the enemy does not want you to do. We have to keep our hearts right and do everything we can to please the King. I read this and I thought, oh my Lord. It must have angered the evil one to see what he had done to Job. And that it had no ill effect on the patriarch, at least as it regards blaming God. He might have been scarred, because let me tell you this. You can't have 10 children die in one day and not be scarred. But you know what? This is the key. He didn't blame God. He didn't blame God for it. He didn't blame God. He wasn't angry at God. You see, we can't blame God for anything. What we need to thank God for is His grace and His mercy upon our hearts and lives. My God, we have to let God do what He needs to do and wants to do. He said this, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil. My Lord, what a God we serve. Honestly, I'm all honest here, but he said that at least twice about Job. Because that's what he saw. And prophetically. the Spirit of God was saying it about him. What is he speaking to you about? Are you living an upright life? I don't want to meddle because that's not my personality to meddle. But I want you to know, how does God see you? Are you living an upright life before him? Are you perfect before him as far as in seeking his ways? Do you fear God? That's why people can raise their fist before God and curse at him, because there's no fear. That's why, was it New York or Minnesota, the state, where they had church and that group went into that church? Was it New York? Minnesota. It was Minnesota. Okay. You're thinking, how could they do that? You know, no, it doesn't matter what religion or whatever. You know, people love the Lord. To disrespect the house of God, because there's no fear of God. No fear of God. Or hate evil. I'm not talking, like I said earlier, about hating people. Not at all. But to hate evil. Yes, evil. The destruction of the evil one upon people's lives. That's where Job stood. From the beginning where he was to the end of this horrible event. Things happen to us as Christians, everybody, huh? We got to keep our hearts right, and we got to rise up like Job. Rise up and worship him. When you feel in it and it's like, oh, you can't take another disappointment. You can't take another negative doctor's report, huh? You know, it's like, Lord, I've had too many this year or last year. Can't take another one. You get down and you worship him and you say, now, Lord, show me. You keep your heart right before him continuously. And let me tell you this, as Christians, every one of you and myself, never, ever, ever blame God. Never. And if you hear somebody blaming God, you try to divert them right. Now, it may not work, but at least you tried. Okay? At least you tried. Job was a man after God's own heart, just like David. Let's keep our hearts right no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people. That we serving him. Amen. Thank you. You may stand, please.